first human people are living bodies. They look for food, something to drink and to eat, like animals. But once we have this, why aren't we satisfied with just food and water? I think that's because we want to learn and because we want pleasure. You know, the only way we interact with our environment are our senses. We have eyes, we like to see beautiful things, we don't like to see ugly things. We like to hear nice music, we don't like to hear a horrible sound. We like to eat something good, we don't like to eat something not good.
Yeah.
And
our smell and...
And I think you go to space, you look at the Earth and you cry. Because it's beautiful. The Earth is a beautiful planet. When you look from a distance, typical of orbital flights, between 400 and 600 kilometers away, not far away, just a few hundred kilometers away. The horizon is about 2,500 kilometers away. And since we fly 16 times per day around the Earth, so a typical 10-day flight, you have flown...
160 times around the planet.
Around the planet. So you fly at 8 kilometers per second, 28,000 kilometers per hour, or 17,000 miles per hour for people who like miles.
But effortlessly almost.
Yes, no effort at all.
Yeah.
After 8.5 minutes, you cut the engines, you are in orbit forever with nothing running, no engines running. There is nothing to stop you. You take... a baby who just starts crawling, you know, starts moving by itself. You put the baby in the corner of your living room. Will he stay there? He or she?
Of course not.
No. Why? Why? He wants to explore.
Yeah.
He wants to know what is there, what is behind the armchair, what is behind the table. If the door is open, maybe a few percent will be... afraid and will wait for others to go, but most will go through the door and explore the corridor behind. Why? They want to know what's behind the wall.
So it's a human instinct.
Some people tell me that's because they are looking for their mother or it's a religious thing. No, I just think it's natural for a human being, as soon as they can go a certain distance, they do it because they want to know what's there. You know, when we invented the bicycle, we went 100 kilometers further than when we are just walking every day. And then cars took us 1,000 kilometers away and airplanes 10,000 kilometers further. It's the destiny of humankind to explore, just to know where we are coming from, where we are, where are we going, what's out there.
Can you recall the very first time you saw the Earth from space? Can you remember what it was like?
Oh, yes. I was in the mid-deck for my first flight, so no window and some work to do for 15 minutes.
Right.
We took off around noon from Florida. And about 20 minutes after liftoff, we were starting flying over Europe. And it was dawn. It was sunset over Germany, not yet for France. So I saw Spain, I recognized the west coast of France, not very bright, but still illuminated by the shallow sun. But Germany was already in darkness, and there were storms, thunderstorms over Germany. The whole Germany, at night. I could see masses of clouds illuminated by lightnings from the inside and propagating this light energy from a mass of cloud to the next mass of cloud. And I thought, the Earth is alive. I mean, you know, it's very impressive. You realize that we are nothing. I mean, Earth is a living planet by itself as a geological object. It has its own life, plate tectonics, the oceans, the winds, the lightnings. These are not human-made. These are natural things. So I realized that Earth is a real, real powerful living body, and we are nothing compared. The only thing we can do is try our best to make our species live as long as we can, but the Earth will definitely survive humankind.
has that distance, the physical distance, created another kind of distance for you? And has it changed your relationship with this planet that we're on? Do you think about it like that?
Definitely, yes. My space flights have changed from the very first minute I watched the Earth. It had me change my vision of us, humankind. I realized we are nothing. We are peanuts. I mean, we are ridiculous compared to this huge living geological body that is a planet Earth.
Yeah.
I had some tears. You know, I wet my eyes, and I was told before by some colleagues, you know, if you let yourself be sensitive to what you see from space, you may be so moved that you may cry. And we were six crew members, three flying for the first time. And the three of us, one was already on the flight deck. And when we rejoined that colleague with another one, together we watched at the Earth, and it was like, wow. And we pinched each other.
Oh.
Can you imagine? We are there watching this spectacular view. We are lucky. We are privileged. And then, oh, like baby, like kids, look there. And then another one, yes, and look there, the desert. And then, oh, look at the clouds, the shape they had there. And for a few minutes, you know, we were like children, discovering something new, magnificent, spectacular, impressive. And
do you lose that? I mean, because you've been in space three times.
I remember every day. Every day I look at the sky, I think, whether it's a few minutes, few hours, or just a few seconds, but there is no one day without thinking that I was lucky to be high above the atmosphere and have the privilege to watch the Earth magnificent, mostly blue, but when we look at details, you know, we see a lot of different colors. And I wish everybody would have a chance to see that one day in their life, because it would change the view people have of our condition on Earth. I do believe that, really.
You think it would give people the humility that you've talked about?
Yes, it definitely make you feel that you are a passenger on a spaceship that is the Earth, and we are all in the same bath. We are all together. We may not speak the same language, we may not have all the same skin color, but relative to the Earth, we are just the same. We are humankind. We are one crew of 6 billion people, and we have to respect Earth because it is so powerful that we cannot pretend we will master what is the destiny of Earth as a living planet. It is beautiful, so it inspires some thoughts about you know, the chance we have to be on this wonderful planet. When you think Venus is 400 degrees,
yeah.
Mars is very cold and desertic all around. When I came back from my first mission, yeah. I was very frustrated to see people throwing, you know, papers on the street.
Yeah, litter.
It is not pollution, you know. It is not going to poison somebody.
Damage the planet, no.
But it is such so beautiful. If everybody was just thinking, it doesn't require any effort to be clean. But if everybody would think to respect the view, to respect the sight, to respect the landscape and what we see with our own eyes, whether it's man-made or not, we would live constantly in a beautiful environment.
When you look at wars, and when you look at conflict, and when you look at man's inhumanity to man, how is that different when you've been away?
In fact, you are told before that from space you don't see borders, and that's not true, actually.
Oh, interesting.
For example, the border between South Israel and Northeast Egypt, you can see from 2,000 kilometers away. You see a straight line that's 200 kilometers long. Or, I mean, you see a straight line that separates a piece of land where people do nothing,
mm-hmm.
Egypt, because they all live on the Nile,
yeah.
And that's fine. And on the Israel side, it's a small country, they exploit all land surface. Even when it is dry, they put artificial irrigation and they produce, vegetables, they rise corn, wheat.
And you can see that division.
And that division you can see from. And there are three or four places on Earth where you can see physically man-made borders. And you realize that they are on Earth different kind of humankind groups who don't have the same priorities, not the same objectives, not the same way of living. So you realize we are not all the same, but we are on the same planet. And if you take an Egyptian and an Israeli in space together and they watch, it would make them think differently and eventually work together better, When you look at the Earth from space, something that struck me from the very first view on the horizon, I expected to see a kind of blurry limit of the planet because of the thickness of the atmosphere. But in fact, on the horizon, you almost see a very neat limit of the Earth, because the atmosphere is so thin relative to the size of the Earth, it's like a cigarette paper, as I say.
I see. So you barely see it.
You realize how fragile is our life on the surface. It's not the fragility of Earth, it's the fragility of living bodies, living animals, vegetals, humans on the surface, because we all depend on this thin layer of oxygen. But relative to the size of the Earth, it's very, very thin. And you realize that our life leans on a very fragile, thin layer of gas.
On a cigarette paper.
Yeah, and we better protect that.